Local election authorities are getting ready for a very unusual November when tens of thousands of people might vote by mail.
Every day here in the office, I'm fielding calls from voters who are like, how do I vote by mail? Because I don't want to go out in COVID.
That's Tim Mitchell from the Bloomington Election Commission. I'm Ryan Denham, and this is WGLT's The Leadoff.
Support for WGLT's The Leadoff comes from listeners like you. Join the community of news consumers who listen to this podcast and are willing to support it financially. Contribute at WGLT.org.
It's Thursday, July 30th. Coming up, what you need to know to start your day. It's The Leadoff from WGLT, Bloomington Normal's public media. Now let's lead off with election authorities in McLean County mailing out tens of thousands of vote-by-mail applications to registered voters this week in advance of the November 3rd election. More from Eric Stock.
Tim Mitchell, executive director of the Bloomington Election Commission, says possibly half or more of Bloomington's 50,000 active registered voters may choose vote-by-mail this year.
I don't know if I'm going to get 4,000, 2,000, 20,000. You know, it's unknown. I'm planning that we're going to get back 25 to 30,000. That's my guess.
The state is requiring election offices to mail out the applications to help avoid long lines on Election Day in November. Election offices will issue mail-in ballots starting in late September. McLean County Clerk Kathy Michael, whose office handles elections for the rest of the county outside of Bloomington, says her office is sending out about 60,000 applications this week. The two offices have received about 1,000 applications so far. Mitchell says COVID-19 is likely the main reason for the surge in mail-in interest, but suggests it could turn into more of a trend.
Every day here in the office, I'm fielding calls from voters who are like, how do I vote by mail? Because I don't want to go out in COVID. And that seems to be the predominantly driving issue. Now, are there going to be carryovers into the next election where people say, I'll just vote by mail again? Potentially.
Both the BEC and clerk's office say there's a possibility vote counts could be delayed since they will likely have thousands of additional ballots to count on Election Day. Election authorities aren't the only ones sending out vote-by-mail applications. Mitchell and Michael say their offices have taken calls from residents who say they've received applications from outside organizations.
I'm not thrilled other organizations are sending these out, especially when we're sending them out, because most of the ones that are coming from other organizations generally have an agenda attached to them or being sent to specific groups of demographics.
Mitchell says the Election Commission may still accept those applications, but it will likely seek guidance from the Illinois State Board of Elections and legal counsel. Matt Dietrich with the ISBE says outside organizations and sometimes candidates themselves send out vote-by-mail applications, and it's legal as long as the applications meet basic criteria. For The Leadoff, I'm Eric Stock.
Here are some other stories we're following in the WGLT newsroom. There were 14 new coronavirus cases reported yesterday in McLean County, but the local testing positivity rate continued to fall. It's now under 2% for the first time in 3 weeks. Also yesterday, the first case at the McLean County Jail was reported. Sheriff John Sandage says the Pritzker administration's months-long suspension of jail-to-prison transfers is partially to blame. In high school football, boys soccer and girls volleyball will move from fall sports to spring sports under a modified IHSA schedule released yesterday. Find more on these stories at WGLT.org. For Central Illinois parents who decide to send their children back to school in person, they also have to prepare them for how different it will be. One big change will be that masks will be required almost all of the time. Dr. Samina Youssef is an OSF healthcare pediatrician in Bloomington. She says a good way to get buy-in is to make sure kids understand why they're doing it. She says kids are very smart.
They already know that there's something different about this time compared to before all of this started. So I think the first thing that parents will need to do is to honestly explain to their children what is going on. Of course, whenever you explain anything to children, you want to be developmentally appropriate. So for a younger child, they may know about germs, and so you may use that terminology. For an older child, they may have heard of a virus or a bacteria, so you could use that terminology. And you basically want to explain to children that there's a new germ that's around that hasn't really been around before, And we are trying our best. Everybody as a community is trying their best to help everyone stay safe, for themselves to stay safe, and for everybody in their community to stay safe. So lots of doctors and lots of researchers have been trying to see what are ways that we can stay safe. And one of them is by wearing a mask.
Should parents be like practicing now, getting their kids to wear a mask a few hours at a time, like to ease them in?
Absolutely. There are a lot of different ways that you can get children to buy into this concept of wearing a mask. And so we have about a month before school starts, and I think this is an ideal time. Whenever you start something new, you don't want to be too soon before they have to do that, and you don't want to be too late. So I think about a month is the perfect time. So I think the first thing that you want to do is have a variety of different masks available. You may want to try the ones that go behind the ear. You may want to try the ones that go around your head at the back and have a little toggle so it could be adjusted. You may want to try a bandana style. So you want to have a variety of different ones that you could try. Also, I think, and I have found from experience in my clinic, that getting buy-in on the design on the mask is really interesting. And it actually becomes a sign of your individuality, and it becomes a talking point. So I've had children with, today I had someone who had Hello Kitty on their mask. I had Avengers. Then I had someone with just tie-dye fabric. And I had someone also whose mom had made it out of a favorite old t-shirt. And they loved that, and it was comfortable. It was something that they knew. So I think that's another way to get buy-in from them.
Masks aren't the be-all, end-all here. What other good hygiene behaviors should we try to instill in our kids between now and the start of school at the end of August?
There's a little list of three W's that you can do to ward off COVID or ward off these new germs. And that number one is wear a mask. Number two is wash your hands. And number three is watch your distance. So we still want to recommend staying 6 feet away from other people as often as we can, understanding that that may not be possible always in school, but just to let children know that if that's possible, that is one thing to keep in mind. The second one about washing hands is actually really, really important. And you really want to watch your children washing their hands. If you think them singing a 20-second song is going to help them, you know, to actually be on top of washing their hands long enough, you want to make sure that they wash both sides of their hands and in between their fingers. And I know that there are a few YouTube videos where people have, like, slime or something on their hands that is fluorescent, and you can see how long it actually takes to wash that off.
You're a pediatrician. I mean, lots of parents are deciding right now whether to send their kids back to school in person or do the remote learning thing. What questions are you fielding and what sort of guidance are you giving?
A lot of parents have automatically already made their decision about whether they're going to send their children to school or not. They usually base it on whether somebody is sick at home and whether bringing the virus home would really be detrimental to that person. So that's number one, and I think that's a very personal choice that families are making. Number two, for younger children, the parents may not be at home. They may need to actually be at work in person, or they may be working from home right now. However, they're unsure how long that's going to last. But I really feel that, you know, making this fun and not making it a very serious issue, giving children stickers or making a prize chart for, you know, the longer that they're able to wear their mask is a really good idea. And, you know, maybe having pictures of different family members, grandparents wearing masks, cousins wearing masks, things like that is going to really help the children.
That's Dr. Samina Youssef, an OSF healthcare pediatrician based in Bloomington. That is it for today. Thanks for listening to The Leadoff. Support for this podcast comes from listeners like you. Contribute at WGLT.org.